The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM. I am one of your hosts, Leonard Sands, along with...
And I'm the other host, Deborah Deal.
And we are happy to be in your homes and those on the way home and listening to us wherever you are. Debbie, I'm going to ask you to indulge me because, like I said before,
okay.
I'm going to put on my dark sunglasses because...
Oh, you're incognito.
No. The foolishness cannot see me today.
Okay.
The foolishness cannot see me. So give me 5 minutes to get into something that I've mentioned and spoken to on behalf of the good contractors of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas in respect to the budget allocations for certain things. I had an interesting call today with one of my good friends, Mr. Miller, Levon, and we were debating his view on my views on the cost of this bridge. And I'm glad I'm in studio with somebody who had an opportunity to do some work on the bridge. Debbie, thank you for that bit of history.
Yes.
Some 20-odd years ago when you were still running around in short pants in the island of Eleuthera and pretending that you were just new here. Uh-huh. And so, and I tried to tell Mr. Miller...
Do people understand that, listen, that you are an engineer?
No, they don't. Okay. They don't understand it. And I think the politicians...
Well, that's something you need... People need to know that. So you're not talking from the seat of your pants.
My resume. Yeah. That's all I'm going to do. Check my... Google it. You could find me. Mm-hmm. You could do a Google search. I will come up. Let's just get some dimensions together for persons who understand why I made such an outcry about the proposed $80 million cost to replace or refurbish the glass window bridge at Eleuthera. Notwithstanding that the bridge is important, notwithstanding that it links the north and the south, all that is fine. Debbie, please remind people who may not be familiar with the island of Eleuthera. What is the span of the glass window bridge?
It's 70 feet.
70 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Let me help persons to understand.
I'm going
to
say this because I don't want it to bite me later.
Plus or minus.
I assume it's 70 feet.
Plus or minus. Yes. I said 100.
From the drawings that we had, I'm assuming.
I gave them an extra 30 feet and said it's 100 feet.
Okay.
I said 100 feet.
Right.
Do you know the approximate span of Paradise Island Bridge, new or old?
I'd say 500 feet, I'd say.
Maybe. Plus or minus?
Plus.
Plus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, plus.
Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand that the construction of the Paradise Island has its bearing on the ocean floor? Over 500 feet, active seabed, is totally different in engineering, design, and installation of a suspended overpass that is typical of any highway anywhere in North America. we can agree that.
Yes.
I just showed you a simple engineering sketch of how they do an overpass, which would be typical of how would you construct a 70 to 100-foot overpass bridge. And in fact, if you traverse I-95 and you have to go anywhere that crosses any of the roads that go opposite to it, across it.
Sunrise, Commercial.
Yeah. Griffin. There are overpasses. Each one of the overpasses that you drive over is longer than the glass window bridge. So when I called my college buddy at DOT, Department of Transportation, Florida, and I asked him, if I have a 70-foot span, do you have pre-fabricated concrete beam members like you use for the overpasses that I could purchase? So, yeah, we got them. We have a supplier out of Texas that makes them, have them stocked up, and we can supply them. So how much would one of those members cost? I got an overpass 70 feet, no more than 25 feet wide. I give it 25 foot wide. The glass window bridge isn't 25 feet wide. I give it 25 foot wide.
Yeah, because it needs to be for double traffic and then a walkway.
Fine. So I'd use, let's say I use five of them. I said, how much each one of them costs? He said, $250,000. How long is the span of one of these members? He said, about 150 feet, almost 200 feet. Good. I'll take four of them. I'm at $1 million.
Right.
I already have the structural members. Piling, one, two, three, four on one end, one, two, three, four on the next end. That's the anchoring system. 100 feet down, I'm paying, I went overboard with the pricing. I'm paying 100 grand per pile. So I got another 400 grand, one, two, three, four, another 800 grand, less than a million. I'm at $2 million. Piling's done. I got the structural support members done. Now I want to reinforce cage concrete to create the roadway and then blacktop it and throw some guardrails. I'd put another $2 million in it. I'm at under five. And I say this with the greatest respect to my friends at the Ministry of Public Works, the quantity surveying and estimating team, whomever submitted that information to the minister, whomever decided that that number, even if they received it from contractors, was appropriate. I invite them again, I'm saying this on public radio, go back out to tender. Let the public understand that you think also that that price is egregious. I'm not backing down from that. It is not, you cannot provide a logical price breakdown for me to understand why you would pay, like I showed you the math on Debbie, $1.142 plus million dollars a foot.
Right.
For our bridge.
So you also have to get utilities over, right? I'm just saying. I'm not being the devil's advocate.
No, of course.
But I'm just saying. You've got
70
you've
feet
got
of piping. 70 foot of conduit. Right, right. 70 foot of conduit.
Right.
It should be talking about electrical conduit, power conduit,
and
the power lines.
And water. And water.
And water, yeah.
Yes.
Water, electrical,
communication,
and data.
Communication.
Data.
Yes.
Conduit.
Yep.
That's it.
Right.
You want to put another million in there for conduit, even though, you know, the conduit would cost you less than 100 grand.
You've
put a million in there for conduit.
You haven't seen the drawing that they submitted out for bid. You have seen it.
I have not seen it.
Oh, okay.
But,
so I'm just wondering, because where the bridge is, they still have to have something for people to get back and forth. So
and
they are.
These precast members, would we tell already?
Right.
Buy an extra two of them. Create a temporary roadway, which I've said before. So that's your temporary roadway.
Okay.
While you totally remove this roadway, do the construction. We still are just over $5 million.
Right. And then there's the demolition of the bridge as well as whatever has fallen down.
You want to give somebody another $1 million just to demo? We had six. My number is 10. Contractors still walking away with more than $2 million in profit of 10. To go eight times more is 80. The day we lose, let me say this as a professional in this space. The day we lose the concept of what things really cost is the day you no longer walk in a restaurant and tell someone they can't charge you $10,000 for a plate of food. Because if we're going to go there, let's go all the way with it. If we're going to be in Sillyville, let's go all the way. The day, Debbie, where we decide that this is normal, Then when you charge somebody to add to the house, you say that's $1 million. Well, how much dollars? Because that's what I think is appropriate. Today we do that.
Right.
Because that's what we're doing now. We're saying that the obtuse, the insane, the absolutely silly is normal. We got a caller already. Must have said something. We got someone's attention. We got two callers. Yeah, let's bring this. Let's have the conversation. Caller, you're live. Let's go.
Yes, good evening, and enjoying the show. Good evening to both of you.
Thank you.
Yes, I just want to say, I just want to congratulate you and encourage you to don't let the government get away with that. I mean, those crazy figures that you're talking about, they're talking about with $1 million a foot or something like that. I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous.
Absolutely.
And our civic duty, I mean, I feel as if it'll be a good thing if you could get together with individuals in your field, right? Individuals who are upright, individuals who have integrity, right? And present your case to the public so that we get involved also, so that we back you, so that we do not allow the government to get away with this type thing, because that's absolute nonsense.
And caller, thank you very much for saying that. And I'll tell you at the end of this, you know why I'm passionate about it? Because we're going to pay for this.
Yes, sir.
It's okay if I pay $5 million for something that would cost $5 million. But why would I pay 50 times more? Why would I want to?
Mm-hmm. And it's just wrong.
It's silly. It's wrong.
It's just wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I know that often... Sorry.
And they're doing good people.
Say nothing. Absolutely. Yeah, that's. Thank you for that statement.
And I'm sick and tired of people in this country complaining every day in and day out about the actions of our government, right? Mm-hmm. And the only way that we can make it stop is if we
say something. You know, absolutely.
So we cannot allow this amount of money to be spent on that bridge. As a matter of fact, whenever or if ever it's repaired, we want it to be repaired and the money paid for be fair.
Yeah.
Well,
you understand where I'm coming from?
I totally do.
We must demand this accountability, and we must demand, as a matter of fact, do not even allow them to go back and rework the figures. Make them show us right now.
Yeah, how do you get to the 80 million?
That's what I was going to say.
That's what we want. Yeah, make us understand.
If Leonard and I were doing a job for...
No more talking.
Yeah.
No more talking.
Absolutely.
I appreciate your advocacy, sir, and I want you to please do not let it go.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much for your call.
Good show.
Yeah, if Leonard and I were doing this job... Oh, we got another one.
Yeah.
We would actually have to break that cost down.
Every
single penny, we would have to break that down and to come up with a price. And we could show you where every single thing came from. Oh, I thought I turned that off.
And listen, Debbie, mm-hmm. I think the comment that Jemmin made is so sound. You know, I wish one time that the government would end it with a public tender. Put it out there. Let the public look at. Let's see how did this figure come to this. And I know some persons who may be totally not aware, ignorant to the fact and not in construction, may not understand why we're carrying on like this. Mm-hmm. We're carrying on like this is because when we explain our costs to clients all day, they take us through everything mm-hmm. to understand why their house costs XYZ.
Right.
And you're throwing out almost $100 million fair, that's 70 feet. And experienced people who have done this can tell you that's not right. I dare you to prove it. Next caller. Go ahead, you're live.
Good night, Mr. Sands.
How are you, sir?
Rachel, hold on. Thank God for life. And Ms. Debbie, I can't remember your last name.
Deal.
Let's make a deal.
Yep, that's it. Just remember, let's make a deal. So why don't you all, unless you all are ready to do it, could you all please give out phone numbers for us to be able to reach you all out here?
Sure. My number is 557-4845. You can call me or text me. I don't mind. Or WhatsApp me. Yeah. I have people call me all the time asking me. They have houses that they want to renovate. They've got problems that they have. And I go and assist because, listen.
Yeah, I remember you said that.
Everything that Leonard and I have learned, we want to share it. That's why we're placed on this earth.
I have no problem scrapping up something off. Reaching out to whatsoever demand that is for mm-hmm. you all, although you say it's free, if it wasn't free, just for honesty,
yes.
you pay for that money.
Absolutely.
So thank God for you all being able to do
it. And you could reach, if you want to reach me.
Hold on, man, please, man. I'm blind.
Okay, Papa, go ahead.
I remember that number and I call in to say something.
Okay, go ahead.
Please still give out the number, Mr. Sands. And tell your wife, I say hello, please.
I certainly will. So,
Mr. Sands and Ms. Deal.
Yes.
They say $80 million for that, right?
$80
Okay, so listen, They saying they can. They say they can start off Massey with 20, but they could spend $100 million Massey on the flooding and pine. But maybe you might say these are not similar. I don't know if it comes what you all do when it comes down to developing. I trying to figure out if Pinewood is $100 million and this thing but it's 70 foot or cost $80 million Please, if you need a pen, get your pen.
I saw that one too, and that's another one that's very curious because, again, I'd like to see the number of wells that they propose to drill. Because, see, it's all about wells, right?
And
the,
Florida is a good example of, of a state that does this on a regular basis.
How much wells are you proposing to drill for $100 million?
While you're educating us, we have a lot of questions. Like
the cost of a well, proper for your just for your knowledge, is you could get a deep well dug for less than $3,000, $4,000. Just one deep well.
Okay. How deep, though? 150? And it should be 10 or 12 inches minimum.
12 inch. But you're probably going to get that at, you're probably going to get that with just under, no, for deep well, you're probably going to get that under 100 feet.
Because we did a bunch of those feet. At Pepsi. I did a bunch of those at Pepsi.
80 feet.
Mr. Sanson, Ms. Deal, how much a new bridge it cost? I know you was comparing.
The new bridge was $30 million.
How much?
30.
200?
30.
30 million?
30.
And you said a 500 feet?
500 feet, 30 million.
Listen.
70 feet, 80 million.
Listening to you, right? And listening to what the government's saying, right? Although we ain't get all information out of whole breakdown is, right? You leave us to speculate, man.
Speculate?
You can't. Well, I want you. Okay, you use the word silly.
I dare them to prove the numbers they got make sense. I dare them. I put out a public dare.
When we hear things like that with numbers don't make sense, it doing just silly actions to us. It sounds like that word with y'all smart people is you
malfeasance
or something like
that. I know. It just seems like the math ain't mathin'.
It ain't sound like value for money?
The math ain't mathin'.
So tell me something, Mr. Sand, the deal do, and persons who concern like y'all who in that field, to stop the government.
What we're here to do?
Court and do an injunction?
No, no. What we're here to do is educate the public.
Okay, so
that's our job.
Okay,
we're going to educate
guess
the public.
What?
That means we can't stop them. That means
no,
they
but hang on. Every single person in this country
so they can still
has
be able to do it.
Yes.
Educate us. We can know the truth.
Yes.
They can be able to get away with it. They can be able to do it.
But
and the most we can do is maybe wait for election to vote them out.
Absolutely.
No law.
No,
law
no law. No.
But every single person in
that's
this
sad.
Country has a member of parliament. They are paid to be members of parliament. And they are paid to be your the head of your constituency, right?
Yeah.
You need, the general public really needs to reach out
to
the members
make
of
this
parliament.
Make sense to me.
It has to, if you have a problem and supposedly they say that we have hired them because we voted them in, okay? So if we have a problem, we should be able to get reach out to them. And the best way to do it is to do it with a letter that you actually hand deliver and have somebody sign for.
So
because that way you prove
that
it's done.
Do anything or they carry on like they're ignoring us and the deal's still
well,
going
they'll
down,
ignore
right?
us anyway.
What else can be
they
done?
Still will.
Nothing. All we can do is advocate for change and hope the public understands that these things shouldn't continue to happen in the public space. Papa, we got to go to the next call. Thank you very much for calling.
We could continue to speculate and think something might
not speculate.
Down,
continue to ask for the facts to back up the estimate.
557-4845.
Oh, 557-4845.
45, okay.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. We got a next caller on. Before we go to the next caller, let me help the public understand something about what we hear on the show. We are the two of the executives of the Bahamian Contractors Association. The Bahamian Contractors Association is made up of the best and the brightest contractors in the Commonwealth of Bahamas. Some of those contractors may have provided some of the costs for this bridge. And I want to say that publicly so you know that we're not taking issue at the government. We're taking issue at the costs.
Yeah.
It is
all.
A science that we delve into every single day. It is something that we teach. We understand, and we have a vast variety of contractors who provide these pricing. So if they're off, we all here to understand something. I don't want the public to think this is about me against the politicians or Debbie. No, we're saying based on our understanding, experience, and knowledge, based on comparative information that we've already received from similar jurisdiction, it cannot cost that. That's the position that we say. And we're only saying this because it is public funds. If we could get something that costs $10 for $10, why would we want to pay $100? Right. It's just about being smart with me. We got another call. Let's take the call. Caller, you're live. Go ahead.
Yes, good day. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Hi, Debbie Deb.
Hi.
I like the song, Debbie Deb. You know, right? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think about you, that song, every time I hear you on the radio. Last time, they were lying about the King Air with the drug plane over the Crooked Island, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was a small one.
Mm-hmm.
Then they gone in Parliament and pushed through in a day. $2.5 million.
$1 million.
A plane, mm-hmm. which you could have purchased, a plane that was running, which you could have purchased for like $1.5 million.
$1 million.
Now, mm-hmm. four months later, the government changed. I mean, like 3 to 4 months later, the government changed. And there it was. The money ain't accounted for. 1 month after that, the police then get locked up in United States, they're still there. Mm-hmm. We ain't know where the plane is. We ain't know what. No, they ain't account for the $2.5 million. If you take one third of that money and extract it from the $2.5 million, they should bring us the change, which should be $1.6 million. $1,666.66. We should get at least that back, and we could go buy another King Air.
Yeah. One thing I would like. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Hello.
No, go ahead. Sorry, I'll when you're finished.
Yeah, that was a small amount. Mm-hmm. So what happened the other day with the road they were going to try to do in 8 Mellock, $183 million?
Mm-hmm.
For, how much they say, less than 40 miles of road?
Less than 40 miles of road, correct.
Yeah, that's how you're screaming now. And all the people in your
association,
profession,
yeah,
they should just make it public, and they ain't got to put their company name.
No.
They said comparative. Right. Estimates.
And submit it. Yeah, and submit it. Say, hey, well, I can do it. Since you all got $100 million, you're about saving money. I can do it for 10. I can do it for 15. Provide your qualifications. Say, hey, why can't I be considered?
Company, the XYZ company.
Yeah.
And put it out there so people could know that this is bogus.
Absolutely.
Because we as the public, and thank God for Guardian Radio and everything, I'm advocating publicly to show that this is the type of administration. They don't care. They impenitent, they are unrepentant about whatever they do. You know what I mean? They just don't have no shame and remorse about what they bring to the public.
And caller, thank you very much for those comments.
PLPs.
I only want to go as far as to say we get things to be flying right is to provide information. Mm-hmm. And accurate information. So we thank
you
very much. I thank you very much for your
voting for them. But look and say, hey, ain't none of them coming to me in Bantown. They ain't coming to you in Cable Beach.
Yeah, this is not a political show.
Yeah.
You have a nice day.
All right, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for calling.
One thing I want to mention too, Leonard, is just for everybody's, knowledge, you and I basically would quote similar in pricing because of the quality and the materials we use and that type of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you also may get somebody else who might be like, let's say, Wolseley, who would probably quote twice as much because they have a lot of overhead
and the overhead,
yeah, right. That has to be covered into that.
Yeah.
So I just don't want anybody to think.
But
that
it wouldn't be 10 times as much.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I'm just
times, even three times is fine.
I'm just saying.
It won't be 10 times.
They have, a lot more.
Won't be exact all the time.
You know, I'm a one-man band, so I don't have a lot
of
overhead.
Let me give the public some comparison. Let me give you some comparison of costs. 20 years ago, we constructed what we call the new PI bridge. At $30 million, let's call it flat number 500 foot. 500 foot at $30 million is pretty much $60,000 per foot. Mm-hmm. This bridge at $80 million and 70 feet is $1,142,520. Per foot. 60,000 per foot?
Mm-hmm.
$1.142 million per foot. Does that seem sensible to you, Debbie? See, this is the conversation I had with my brother Miller, and he was trying to make it make sense to me, and I said, Levon, because you're not in this space, forgive me for being outraged. You're comparing something that costs $60,000 for someone to owe you $1.1 million every time you move the foot. Which one of those numbers you would like to have?
I want the big one.
You want the big... You know how much time 60,000 could go into 1.1 $2 million. Mm-hmm. That's the thing we want people to think about. It's that outrageously different.
So for fun, let's double it. Let's say 140 feet for the bridge. Then do the calculation.
Even at 140 feet, it's still
500,000.
It's more than $600,000 a foot compared to $60,000. You know what we have to do to get this into that $60,000 per foot? We had to extend that bridge another 400 or 500 feet.
It'd go all the way to Whale Point.
It'd be all the way to Whale Point and all the way to Hatchet Bay. Yeah. So, all right, we got another call. Let's take this call. Call you live. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Sands. Good afternoon.
Debbie.
You know, Mr. Sands, I'm just wondering that whether the government feels that, you know, that we are, the people are just people and that, you know, they can throw anything against the wall and it will stick, because obviously the government must realize that there are more educated people outside of the government that are inside of
I love that. I certainly think that most days.
Who will scrutinize these things? You know, and this government came to power on the grounds that they would be transparent.
Mm.
And the reason for the Procurement Act, so that these things would be open and transparent,
mm-hmm.
and analyzed, mm-hmm. in order to, you know, to save the, because it opens up people to speculate as to really what is going on.
Right, and it would be better just to tell us what's going on instead of speculating. Sorry.
JFK Drive,
mm-hmm.
The Ministry of, I think, Foreign Affairs.
Foreign Affairs and the AG's office.
Those two buildings started off, I think, like about $20 million.
$20 million, yep.
And by the end of the day, we must have paid $60 or $80 million.
We were over $45 million plus on each one of the buildings. And so we went 100% plus over budget on both buildings.
Well, you and I could never get away with that.
100% over budget on both buildings.
And, you know, Mr. Sands, really, and I know that some of how I feel, like the government feels like, you know, that this is monopoly money, and like they can do anything with it, and you know, and I see so many things that I really don't want to mention them on the airways, but you know, I mean, anybody who has an ounce of
a sense,
brain and who has ability can think, can see, really, yeah, and you have to ask what is going on here, and that voice note that pretending to, or who believes to be the former justice. Dame Sawyer, and they made some poignant point that there are many ministers and other people of the gospel who are getting multiple contracts.
Oh, well, that's obvious
and
to see.
Things like that. And,
that's
and,
obvious.
And you wonder what is going on in our country.
We have a very pliable country full of people who realize that government and access to government could make you very wealthy. That's very simple. But call, I got to get to the next call. Yes. Thank you very much for calling the show. Caller, go ahead. You're live. Oh, sorry, I dropped the call. I supposed to accept the call. My Mr. Producer asked him to call back, please. I kind of dropped the call. Caller, please forgive me. Call back. Hung up the call.
And I did that on our very first call, so I...
Yeah, and we don't want to be political here. We're trying not to be,
mm-mm.
But I'm trying to make sure that people understand how this grieves us, because it's so wrong. So we got a caller. We'll go to this call, but I just want persons to understand. When the government even projected that they will have a surplus, and I said publicly, that's highly unlikely. I don't care what the prime minister says, and I'm not speaking against Mr. Philip Brave Davis, like the gentleman, good prime minister, all the good stuff. I watch your history. When I say your history, the government's performance. The caller just mentioned that two projects were estimated at $20 million, finished at $45 million.
Where does that extra money come from?
No, forget where the extra money come from. It's over budget.
Yeah.
Which means that if you had a surplus, it mm-hmm. would have been eaten up. The hurricane shelter in Abaco, it was budgeted at how much $1 million? 2 point something. Where's it at now? Closer to $8 million. Every single project they do is over budget. So I can say with certainty, and I want anybody on this, it is impossible for administrations who have never ever been able to bring projects in under budget to do it now, overnight, and maintain a surplus. Not when your physical when your infrastructural budget costs have never, ever, ever maintained its budget allocation, ever. So that's not me being political. That's me stating the facts that anyone can check. Go to every single government project that's ever been built in the last 40 years. They have never, ever achieved budget. They have always been at least 60 to 100% over budget. So I dare say, wow, that's a pie in the sky wish that we will have, ever have an excess by the come 12 months from now. Next caller, you are live.
Good evening to both of you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
It's a really good show, and I always like to listen in when I have an opportunity. And, you know, I must say that when something isn't making sense, I keep saying this, somebody's making money.
Mm.
All right? The other side of it is, when men love darkness, that's because their deeds are evil. Because if you don't
want to... Can I steal that? I like that.
You know, when you don't want to expose any aspects of public spending and to be seen by those who need to see it, we the voting public and, mm-hmm, and the taxpayers, that means your deeds are evil.
Suggests that.
Why you should be hiding information from us in the sense of construction and anything along those lines. The reality is we all will pay the price, and that's the fact.
That's the fact.
I appreciate the fact that you guys are lending voice to this scenario, because the same challenges is we need to have more of this in our construction field relative to when the government puts its hand to have anything constructed, because we need to have somebody watching the money, somebody with experience and somebody who understands, you know, how these things are done and how much it costs to make certain things.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, we all will pay the price.
We all will pay for it.
And it's terrible.
Yeah.
So the other thing is we pay these hefty prices. You mentioned the fact that, you know, we have never been in budget.
Never.
Think about that.
Never, ever.
We have never been in budget. We have these cost overruns and excessive cost overruns.
Excessive, right? Ridiculous cost overruns.
And then you couple that with the reality that once the building is now completed,
we don't maintain it.
Scenario that is leased to somebody who probably funded that building or whatever, and now getting double for all the things that they put into it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a consistent raping of the Bahamian people's money, and we need to get at the bottom of it.
I totally agree.
I appreciate you guys lending your voice to it, and I hope that the government and any government that comes into play will engage individuals like yourselves, you and Ms. Deal, of saving resources and ensuring that the resources are spent in the direction that it needs to be spent in. Yeah. Good job, as always. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Especially the fact that that the funds are actually being borrowed, right? And how many years is it going to be to pay them off? And if you read the budget, there's an amount allocated for payments of past due loans. I don't know how else to say it. I'm saying it wrong,
yeah.
But you know, you would know how to say that,
Debbie,
right?
You hit the nail right on the head. I'm reminded by the fact that in an IMF report on Country Mission, Bahamas, the IMF reported that per five-year period.
Mm-hmm.
No, not 5 year. I lie. Per budgetary year.
Okay.
The rework or redo work estimate for the Bahamas is $500 million. So what they did, callers, listen to this. What they did is they summed up the budget numbers,
mm-hmm,
against the completion numbers,
right,
and it amounted to $500 million to make it right, the redo work. Times 5 years. That's every year.
Mm-hmm.
Times 5 years. You're talking about $2.5 billion every 5 years,
mm-hmm,
in redo work.
And
is
where
we do.
And where does that money come from? It just keeps building.
It keeps
and building.
So guess what
building.
We have to do the rework? Borrow. Well,
my grandkids are going to have to earn gobs of money
gobs
to be able to live in this country.
But Debbie, all we're saying is that, again, less. What we're saying is
we don't even want to build the bridge.
No.
We're just saying that we could not get away with that foolishness with our clients if we had an
opportunity to. It just couldn't. Because it wouldn't make sense to them. And so we're saying we're looking for people to be responsible stewards of our money,
mm-hmm,
as custodians of it. Because at the end of the day, all of us, not whether you're sitting home in your living room, whether you're here on the show, whether you're outside playing basketball, all of us are going to pay for it.
Yeah.
And that's the taxes are for that.
Yeah.
When we need the money, the government will raise the taxes from us.
Yeah.
That's where it's going to come from. So if we don't lend a voice to these things that obviously jump out at us and say, okay, the $100 million, I'll come to that another day because, again, I had several questions. How many wells are you proposing to dig? How deep are the wells? And how long is it going to take? And if you tell me that, I could get you a price on that too. Because it's not rocket science we're talking about. None of this stuff is rocket science.
None at all.
Everything, the beauty of construction, every single thing can be quantified. That's why I want to see. So break down the cost to me. What's in this foot here? You got steel, you got concrete, you got asphalt, you got support member, you got, what is in this? Because you're charging someone $1.142 million per foot. Give me the breakdown of what's in this per foot.
And for those of them.
So it may cost $100 million, but I'd like to see the numbers. And I think we get to the place where our budgets have to be scrutinized closer by persons who have the professional abilities to do so. We've often lended and offered our assistance to the governor of Bahamas, and if they don't know, they certainly could reach out to us. Mr. Producer, I hear our music, so we're going to our first break. Yeah, okay. Let's take the first break, Debbie, and then we come back with our sponges.
Okay.
You're listening to 96.9 Nailed It. We'll be back after these break.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines, maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about machine, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
When your building renovation projects are go, go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
But the sickness more than crack, and they just build this house.
Pay now, pay more later.
Your wall crack because I rot in steel.
I guarantee fiber steel, Jack.
No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel, eh? No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel. Steel pussy get protection from nasty men. But the sand that they use of salt in it. And then the cotton, and just like a flower wall crack open, eh? No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel, eh?
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or 822-9527 or visit our Facebook and IG page at our development BFRP. Listen, say goodbye to rust and our crack of water. Call now.
No steel, no big deal.
When we started Storm Frame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at Storm Frame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the Outer Islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Thank you very much for listening in, and thank you very much for the calls. We really appreciate them. We are trying to make a difference here. And thanks to our sponsors, we're actually be able to do this show. And I'd like to mention our sponsors at this time: ARM Caribbean, CBS Pro Store, ART Development, Bahamas Safety Solutions, Veritas Consultants, Insurance Management, The Paint Place, Trust Co. Limited, Sebastian Alliance Group, Kalina General Insurance, and CMEX Bahamas. Thank you so much for having the confidence in us to support us in the show.
So, Debbie, we wanted to go in the second part of our show because, you know, mm-hmm. we could speak about, you know, high-cost bridges all day. But mm-hmm. the show intentionally right. wants to prepare our public for hurricane season. Now, I've heard one of the hurricane preparedness show, which is very good. I liked it. We're going in a different direction. So, what we're going to do is ask a series of questions, and I want our listening audience to jot them down.
Can I ask the first one?
Yes, and then apply it to your residence, okay? So, Debbie, go ahead with the first question, and I want the public to listen out for it because it's a very important first question.
Okay, this is something that's very important to me. Does your home have hurricane clips on it? First of all, you may not know where they are. Okay, so they are twisty pieces of metal that go onto the rafter, and then they go onto the actual
roof plate.
Roof plate, yes. Right?
Why? And, let's talk about why. Why is it attached there?
Well, because the belt itself is bolted in, then the rafters come on, but the rafters have to attach to something, right? Now, back in the day, you know,
you might have nailed them.
Yeah, you would nail them on, but mm-hmm. that. With hurricanes and the tents that we're having now, it doesn't work. And you should have a hurricane clip on either side of each rafter. And some people will say, well, how will I know? Well, first of all, if you just go up in your attic with your cell phone
flashlight,
you could look. You can actually see them. And if you can't see them,
they're probably not there.
They may not be there. And you don't want to find out the hard way.
Yeah.
And I just want to give an example. During Andrew in Harbor Island, we were there for Andrew. And they had... Angie's had just built some, I'd call them duplexes, I think, mm-hmm. on the opposite side. And they were brand new.
Mm-hmm.
And after the hurricane, one of her buildings, half the roof was there, the other half was not there. And the other half was not there because it did not have hurricane clips.
And just for reference, people, hurricane clips could be purchased at any local hardware store for about $1.50 to $1.75 per clip.
Right.
They're very inexpensive. Yes. But very important.
Yes.
What I would then to go further suggest, rather than nailing on the clips, I would actually take an impact drill and a 2-inch screw and fasten the clips to the screw.
Yeah, if you have that kind of equipment, you
well,
could.
Well,
yeah.
The challenge is if you're going to retrofit installing the clips now, mm-hmm. with your attic already there,
right.
and you're crawling on your belly,
right.
it's going to be hard to nail it.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's easier to put your screw on the end of the screw gun.
And if you don't have one, you can always rent them.
Oh, you could rent them.
Yeah, or you could buy them from one of the sponsors that I just mentioned earlier.
But it's hard to nail it now.
It is.
You really got to nail it on before.
Especially if you've got a 412 pitch.
Exactly.
Because then you're like, you're
it's almost impossible.
Yeah, it's almost impossible.
Yeah, but so it can be done even mm-hmm. if your home does not have it.
Right.
It's just a little more tedious and it takes your time. If you lose your roof, more than likely, A, you're going to get wet or you can get sucked out your house. So two things are going to happen.
And the next thing
it ain't
is,
gonna be nice either one of those things happening.
And the next thing is after the hurricane, you're gonna have to find somewhere to live for the next year or so.
Because you won't have a roof.
Right.
And that's not gonna be fun.
No.
So the second question, do your doors and windows A, properly close? And if they do they have water seal? Now, you may think that, okay, it's not so much of a big deal except for one thing. If your doors and windows cannot properly close, how do you keep the elements out? That's one. Wind-driven rain and obviously hurricane winds. If hurricane winds get in your house, it's going to push your doors open.
And pop your roof off.
Pop your roof off. Mm-hmm. So you really want to keep the winds outside your house.
Because it's the pressure. You have low pressure until the hurricane gets in your house. And all of a
then
sudden,
you got high pressure.
Yeah. And that's what happens.
So your safest, your best defense is keep the winds out your house.
Right.
Hence why I don't put e-vents in my buildings.
No, I don't have vents in mine either.
I don't want the wind going in my house.
No, that just causes moisture and mildew to get in there.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, again, I'm an advocate for doors opening out.
Not opening in.
If you live in Canada and you don't have hurricanes, you could do that. And you could have it look pretty so when you're opening the door, that kind of stuff.
You open in and it's cute.
Yeah. But if you think about it, anybody who's ever done a door, the little tongue that sticks out from the lock.
It's about an inch and a quarter at most.
Right. And it goes into the wooden door, and that's the only thing that is stopping that door from blowing in.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the only thing stopping that door from
being kicked in.
Yes.
Not a lot.
So it's really better. And if you need advice on it, call Leonard. I don't mind. I'll come and show you how to do it, and I'll show you why.
Yeah.
I'll even take you to a store where the doors are, and I'll show you exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, because it's so important. Because again, and if your house was drawn where your front door and back door
are aligned,
when that door goes in, the other
door is
going
out
as well.
Yeah.
So these are things that people don't even think about. Yes.
And question number four, did you look around your home and ensure that there are no low hanging trees near your roof line, again, or near your power line? Because you could have a mild storm and you'd be the only one affected because your tree knocked your power line down on your street. So you and your neighbors don't have power, or because you didn't get your tree trim, or you had a mild storm and a nice tree rotted is near your house and fell on your roof.
Yeah, and a lot of people think, well, BPL will come and cut them down. That's not BPL's job
to do that.
I know, but that's not their job to do that. Their job is to make sure that the lines are free. And they keep telling you from the time that the season starts, please make sure that there are no trees hanging over
your power lines.
The power lines. Mm-hmm. Because it's not just you. Like you said, if it's on Eastern Road, it could be the entire Eastern Road that could be affected from this. So you have to be considerate. And even if you hired somebody to come with a saw or one of those little hand saws, the most it's going to cost you is a couple hundred dollars, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're protecting other people as well as yourself. It's very, very important.
Question number four. And we was given these tips before hurricane season. Now we're in the hurricane season.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Have you stocked up on your hurricane supplies? For example, do you have a flashlight with batteries?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have water in a dry location in the event that your power goes down and you can't go to the refrigerator and you touch the water thing?
Do you have extra medicine?
Do you have extra medicines? Do you have a hammer? Do you have a screw gun? Do you have a saw? Do you have some necessary tool? Let's say there's an event that you do have a breach of your home. How do you fasten something quickly if you don't have the tools? And I'm saying this to the single homeowner. I'm saying this to the married homeowner. I'm saying this to the homeowners who inherited. Get a small toolkit. Mm-hmm. If you own a home, Debbie, Debbie, you're a contractor.
Mm-hmm.
So inside your home, in my truck, I have stuff. My house,
me too.
I have stuff.
Me too.
Because just in case I need to do stuff, I don't want to go in a hurricane to my truck to get the stuff.
Right.
You get a small DeWalt bag
with
an impact gun, a hammer, a saw, a bit of nails, and some screws.
And guess what's coming up in a week or so? Father's Day. What a perfect idea.
CBS sells a lot of Father's Day tools.
But why not, instead of,
a tie and all
a tie or shoes
stuff,
or whatever.
Get a man a hammer.
Do a kit.
Get him an impact drill.
Because it's not that he's the only one who will help protect the house, but at least he would have tools that he could teach everybody else
how to use it.
And at the end of the day, everybody can contribute to actually doing all of these things.
Yeah. I would add to that list, too, for persons inside the northern Bahamas, and the Grand Bahama, the Abacos, the Berry Islands, those places, I would add to the toolbox, and this is only specifically to those islands. It's not going to happen probably in our lifetime, but one of the tools would have been a serious help to a lot of persons doing Dorian if they had a pump. Well, pump would have been well, but I'm talking about where they had the high waters inside the home. Oh. If they had a battery-operated Sawzall.
Oh, okay.
Because some persons had to enter through the roof.
Right.
How do you get that plywood out?
Well, like I've always recommended, what people do is if the area that you are fairly low-lying and it's a concern, I would suggest putting in a gable.
Yes,
a dormer. Putting in a dormer.
So you could always climb out.
So you can always climb out onto the roof and make sure that that window is a operable. Hurricane. Yeah. But it's operable. Yeah, it's operable.
Yeah.
And the Bahamian shutter could be locked from the inside.
Yeah.
And that way you don't have to be worried about sawing a hole in your roof, right?
Yeah.
And
you could make it pretty.
Yeah. Just in case is a good idea.
Yeah, just in case. I like, you know, sometimes you can't get a circular saw a lot of places and you need something to get a member out of the way.
The thing is, though, your rafters are only like 22 inches apart, so you're only going to be able to cut a little space.
22 by 48, Debbie, you could get through
that. Yeah, that's true.
I could get to 22 by 48.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hurricane preparedness tip again. We're on tip number 5. And I hate to suggest it and mention it. Do you have an evacuation plan for your home to who's safe and closest to you? You know, Debbie, if you had an incident in your home right now, who are you running to? Muffy is too far away.
Right.
Okay, so you're not running to Muffy.
No.
Who's on your street? Who are you going to? We don't even think about that as a community no more. You know, on your street, who are you going to run to if something just catastrophic happens to your home? And you can't wait till the morning to go to somewhere. You have to go to someone on your street.
My daughter's pretty close.
Okay. So yeah, you get to Muffy.
Yeah, well, I'm Brigadoon. She's High Vista.
That's not that close, Debbie.
It's Brigadoon, Deals Heights, High Vista. It's very close.
You have to pass Deals Heights.
Huh?
You have to pass Deals Heights.
Brigadoon, Deals Heights, High Vista.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
You in the car?
I'd be in my truck.
You would be in your truck?
I'd be in my truck.
You could get there.
I'd be in my truck, yeah.
All right, so I want person to
but
think
yes,
about that.
Yes, it is
that.
Important because I live alone.
Yeah, think about where do you go for refuge?
Right.
And you have to have that identified. Have the person know that you're the person. So, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning, they hear you banging on the door. I'm the person.
And they're not.
That they're going to run to. They don't think someone's going to break into the house.
And you're not going
to
be there with a gun.
Exactly, because
like
it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
So these are kind of small tips where we have to learn lessons from Dorian. You could go to if your house is compromised. You shouldn't be in the middle of the storm, like spinning around. Where's my cousin live? No. Who's closest to you that you have a relationship with that you could take refuge in? You know, this is, we've been really sober about hurricane preparedness because unfortunately for our country, we live in a hurricane zone, but we've already experienced the worst kind of storm. So we have to be now responsible for how we treat our response to this knowledge.
Right.
Secondly, ask the questions. I want everyone to identify right now, and I want people to do this. Find out where is the nearest hurricane shelter to your house, and then go to the hurricane shelter and ask them if they have the things on the checklist. First of all, one of the things we recognized during Dorian, shelters did not have backup power generation. Right. They were waiting for power to go on too. Well, if I'm waiting for power to go on in the shelter, I just be in my house.
If you have city water, that's fine. But if you don't have city water, that means you don't even have water.
You don't have water.
Toilets,
so you need
drink or shower. Or
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the community helps the shelters too, because many of the shelters are churches and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So it would be a great thing. Find out.
Our church is one.
Your church is a rockstar church with having everything it needs. I know that for sure. Mm-hmm. But find your local church. Okay, is this church a hurricane shelter? If they say yes, okay, that's great. Mm-hmm. Does this church have a generator? They say no, okay. Did we find out how much a generator costs? Can the person get together and get a generator? We already in hurricane season, but one of our members, M&E, sells generators.
Mm-hmm.
Marlin Marine sells generators, some other suppliers. Right. Let's get a generator there.
Right.
Okay?
That's
Let's
a
think
good
about
idea.
It. If your if you believe that your church is a hurricane shelter and it also does have a generator, ask them, what is the capacity of cold storage in the kitchen? Mm-hmm. Maybe they have a residential fridge and they need a freezer.
Right.
I think we got to stop relying on the government, like you've always said, Debbie, to solve all our problems. Mm-hmm. You go to the place. Right. It's your church. Yes. It's your civic building. Mm-hmm. It's the space you go to. Ask them. I realize this building is a center. I realize I'm here. Do we have this? Do we? What can I help with? How do I help organize us getting these things? Because if I really have to go here, I want to make sure that we have done everything and it's possible for us to survive together. Mm-hmm. That's the new approach to this.
Right. Because we did something that had nothing to do with the hurricane, but it just shows what we did. An adopt a light bulb program. Mm-hmm. This is going back probably maybe 10 years ago or 8 years ago. I'm not sure. And basically what it was is you'd come out, there was a clipboard, and every single light bulb in the entire building and outside and in the
foyer.
On the stage and all that kind of light, right? So some of those lights were very expensive. It took a year to actually get them all and get them there. And then when they put them in, the pastor of at the time did a video which is part of the Green Initiative videos that are there. And the power bill went from $7,000 a month to $2,000 a month, a reduction of $5,000. And that was the whole purpose of it, was to reduce the cost of that, because running a church is not cheap.
No, it's expensive.
Right? It's expensive. So you can do it, and you can do it by every single person doing something small. You don't have to do big. You can do small, because many smalls end up being a big.
And you remind me of this. Now, I didn't want to touch it.
Oh.
I promised I wasn't going to touch it.
Oh.
But I'm going to touch it, because we're talking about it. Notwithstanding the fact that I understand churches have a religious responsibility, I've always had the view, because I'm, and you are, Debbie, in the built environment space. For shelter, the government and our civic communities use them as shelters. In all of the new church designs, I'm speaking to the pastors who might be listening, to the persons who are the church administrators who make it speak to the pastors. Let's start to begin to make churches be what they are in theory, context, and reality. If they're going to be places of refuge, let's make sure they are places of refuge. I note of interest that BEI, Believers International, something, whatever, massive building on Glasson Road. Mm-hmm. It's the only one of...
The one that's being built now?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I saw that today.
That. Huge. Plus 100,000 square foot of a lot building. I don't know the pastor. I don't know anything. Bahamas Harvest is also building another 100,000 square foot plus sanctuary. And I've had an opportunity to speak to Pastor Mario Moxie about... And I talk to him directly. I say, okay, it's great. Great you're planning to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, all this good stuff. God call you and all that stuff. Great. Can we consider also that this space does not only exist to worship in? Because if it is deemed a shelter, no miracle is going to make it behave like a shelter.
No.
I mean, very sober when I say this.
No, it's true.
You have to design it to behave like what you say it is.
Right. Our bathrooms, the male and female bathrooms, have many showers. They have a separate room.
So it can be a shelter.
It's a shower room. Yes.
Right. So it can be a shelter.
Because we had 58 people from Acklands.
Stay inside there.
Yeah.
Also, in a church that has 100 and something thousand square foot of space and costs plus a 25 to 40 million. Yeah. These are what we're spending now on worship spaces.
Wow. I think this church was built for like 2 million or 1.5
million. We're north of $30 and $40 million of churches now. That's where we are. But that's a whole different discussion.
Okay. Yeah.
Make sure we have at least living accommodations for
bathrooms,
persons who may living accommodations,
beds
for persons who may have to take refuge. And now I know I may be venturing a small away from the path, right? But I tell you one thing. If I'm in a community, if I'm in a place that's a shelter, and my elderly grandmother or something was there, I could hack it on the ground, on a bleacher. Mm-hmm. You're telling me an 85, 95-year-old person who should be in a bed should hack it there too? Mm-hmm. When you've spent $40 million and no one has thought, the sense it may be to have five small 8x9 rooms that you could put a single bed in with an end table with a Bible, and someone could actually take refuge in the space you call a sanctuary. I'm just saying, mm-hmm. let's rid it. When we say we're going to make something a shelter.
Well, the churches generally have classrooms for the kids to go to Sunday school. So in our church, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, I think 8 different individual classrooms.
Where the beds?
But I'm just saying, though, they are individual rooms.
I know.
That could very easily be turned
so
into that.
Let's
you
think
push
about
everything
it, though.
To the side.
Yes.
And then you have cots, just like you have at the Army.
Yes.
They fold up.
Do the church have cots?
They must have something because we had 58 people.
Good.
I think we brought them in.
So good you guys did that.
Yeah.
I want every church to do that, too. Yeah. If you're going to be, when I say every church, every church that's been designated a shelter, mm-hmm. and this is what I sat on a committee 2 years ago, and it was at the University of Bahamas, with the purpose-built shelter initiative. Funding was coming from it, something, I can't remember all the mm-hmm. details. And I said to them, again, if we're going to make it purpose-built, let's make sure it fits the purpose. Mm-hmm. If you say this is a hurricane shelter, it has to have X, Y, and Z, and not what we used 20 years ago. A shelter has to be a shelter, but has the accommodation of what we need today. It needs sufficient cold storage.
Yes.
It needs sufficient bathrooms. Mm-hmm. Imagine putting 400 people in a space with a male and female bathroom with only one stall each. That doesn't make sense. No. That can't be a shelter.
No.
The capacity would be quickly outlived. Secondly, we talk about the living space. We talk about dry storage. Okay, what if you need to feed people mm-hmm. for 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Where do you store 2 weeks' worth of food in a space that's a church, mm-hmm. now designated shelter, right. which wasn't purposely built to do that function?
Right.
So I'm very deliberate when I talk about construction. And for the meantime, since we haven't built them, until the one in Abaco opens, we're using churches, which I have no issue doing. But let's make sure if it's going to be a place that you take refuge, it has to provide adequate refuge yeah. things in it. Mm-hmm. That's my bane here of the commentary. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure it fits the purpose to be called a shelter if you're going to be spending $40 and $50 million on these buildings. Because mm-hmm. clearly Jesus must be living in them. But if you can go there, let's make sure it mm-hmm. fits the purpose. So we're getting to the third segment, so let's continue with our hurricane preparedness list. What time we got, Debbie? Oh, it's 7:30 already.
Oh, it can't possibly be. Fix the clock.
Yeah, we go for five more.
Yeah, okay.
So in preparation for the storm, we're getting right. 5 minutes. Let's list some other things that people need. A.
Raincoats, for God's sake, and galoshes.
Galoshes, because it's going to rain a lot, especially uh-huh. in Bahamas. If you're living in Pinewood, suggest a small life raft. I'm being very serious about that.
That's true.
Small life raft. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I want persons to also think about having backup storage for your computers and things mm-hmm. that you may have to dump everything on a backup device. Mm-hmm. If you have a short out of power, you have a hurricane coming, you don't know if your whole computer is going to be fried. Transfer your important files that may be your house documents, your insurance papers. Put that on a flash drive. Put it on a disk. Store your stuff electronically. You do not know what's going to happen. And then put it in Woodside, Debbie. Yeah. Put it in the Ziploc plastic bag because mm-hmm. you don't know if your house is going to have water inside right. it. Mm-hmm. Let's just learn from the experiences we had.
Right. Yes.
One of the biggest challenges we had during Dorian, people lost their paperwork. People couldn't find their stuff. Secure your stuff.
And all that kind
birth certificate.
Yeah.
Secure mother's children's stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so important.
Yeah.
Because, again, thinking of it the bad way, if somebody goes missing, you have to have some
kind of... You have to have something to show the government that this person was here.
Yes.
What are you going to do?
Because we learned from Dorian
yeah.
that they say only a minimal amount of persons, but it was like in the thousands. Yeah. I believe in the thousands.
Yeah, people are here. My mm-hmm. cousin was here mm-hmm. before the storm. He's not here now.
Because a lot of people
Tell me he wasn't ever here.
Right, a lot of people that were here without papers were definitely not going to be going out saying, yes, listen, my cousins or so-and-so is gone.
Yeah.
But that's just, it's sad. Yeah, it's important to have
so that's, and don't, back up your stuff.
And don't have them upstairs somewhere. No. Have everything in a kit
yeah.
so that whoever is going to put that backpack on,
they got your
it's
stuff.
It's going to be a waterproof backpack.
Waterproof bag. So and guess like, what? They sell these things.
Yes, they do. Of course they do. People go in the boats all the time.
All the time. They have waterproof yes. bags.
So do one of those. And people yeah. are going to say, we don't have the money to do that. Well, pick one or two things
that you can do.
That you can do. Right?
And do that.
And then do that. And then try to work on doing another yeah. one and another one and another one.
I'll tell you, Debbie, and I like your analogy when you're doing the windows in your house and you're doing it, you're doing it this morning. You can only do one window at a time. I mean, that's what you do.
Well, I have to, you know.
It costs a lot. You do.
Yes.
So the same thing for, you know, for hurricane preparedness, mm-hmm. if you don't have hurricane impact windows, you have traditional windows, but you could get a plywood. You buy one plywood a month.
Yeah.
Or every one plywood, every two plywood a month. Mm-hmm. You got 12 windows in your house. 12 mm-hmm. months, you got all the plywood to cover your windows.
Right.
You just
and
have to really be smart
if
about
it. If you
it.
Want it to be pretty, you could get a Bahama shutter because it also helps keep the heat out in the summer. And it also
allows wind to
allows,
come in.
Yeah, breeze to come in. Mm-hmm. But it also, it's very good at protecting your house.
Oh, yeah, even I love Bahama shutters.
Even if your windows don't work well and your roof doesn't pop off.
And it stops the rain from coming into Bahama
right.
shutters.
Yes.
I like those.
I love those. And so, you know, again, that's how I did my house. I had to buy one at a
one
time.
One at a time. One, guess what? They all done, though.
And you know what? I don't care if
done.
My neighbors had the money to do everything all
that's
the same
neighbors.
Time. I couldn't do it.
No.
So, but I still accomplished my mission.
And that's all you
and
do.
Yeah, and that's all that matters.
We come to the end of our show.
We did.
7:35.
This was
we had
a great show.
Had a great time educating the public on a number of things.
So much.
And we thank everyone for calling in. We thank everyone for the support we have on the show. Every we meet people tell us how great the show is, and we encouraged by that. Mm-hmm. So continue to listen. Please continue to take notes. We're going to continue to share as much information as possible. We are in the hurricane season. It
and
is
I'm
going to
give you my number
5th.
One more time.
It's hurricane season, June 5th.
Absolutely. So we're there.
Yeah.
We're really there. So again, 557-4845. I don't mind helping anybody.
Yeah.
If you've got a problem or something, I'm there.
And the offices of the Bahamian Contractors Association, that is the sponsor of the show, mm-hmm. is 356-8850. Or hit us up on our website, which is www.bahamiancontractors.org. Please check it out. Find out what you can about everything happening inside your community mm-hmm. and construction in the Bahamas.
Yes.
Good afternoon.
When we started Storm Frame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at Storm Frame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the odd hours.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas!
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
When your building renovation projects are go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines. Maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.